Augustine Early is a thoroughly unscrupulous beat reporter, prepared to do just about anything to get his next front page scoop, even if he has to make it up. And he tells us in a very matter-of-fact tone that it would have been impossible to believe in God and have done the things he did. What's more, since he's gotten away with all of his plans, it makes him all the more convinced there are no scandalized angels plotting their revenge. Campbell Scott plays Augustine Early in Ronan Noon's one-man play called The Atheist. It's being presented on alternating weeks through January 4th at the Barrow Street Theater in the West Village, and it's gotten great reviews. I'm very pleased that it brings Campbell Scott back to the show. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Doesn't Augustine Early's pure villainy make it hard for audiences to like him?
I think that Augustine would disagree with your use of the word villainy, Leonard. He would just say he was misunderstood, if anything, and using all the powers he has at his fingertips to do the best job he can. But of course, yeah, he's like a car wreck. And we love watching him, though, for some reason. I think it's a tribute to Ronan's writing.
Well, but what about you? Do you have to forgive or understand him in order to make him human despite all of his faults?
I think those characters, and I tend to seek them out nowadays.
I played
someone like that in a movie called Roger Dodger as well, very unscrupulous, but someone who tells their own consistent truth, even if it's sort of horrific and abhorrent to watch, and sometimes misogynistic and sometimes misanthropic, but they're refreshingly direct and unapologetic. And I think I seek those people out because I'm so unlike that myself. You know, it's a lot of fun to play.
Well, it's
as long as you don't have to date them. You know,
in both cases, they are real charmers. The reason that Roger did so well in Roger Dodger was because he could charm women. I mean, he was a very successful ladies' man. This guy has a very witty side to him.
He does. He's witty and he's passive aggressive in a very charming way. And he is, he goes through the practical events of his life. Never seeing them as negatives. You know, he sees them as opportunities, not only opportunities to be embraced, but to be expanded upon. And I think we're all very careful in our lives and as we should be, and careful about each other a lot of the time, and those of us who with moral centers. And he, not only does he not have one, but I think he thrives on not worrying about it.
You told the New York Times that you liked how dark you could make him. Were the writer and director considering a lighter take?
No. In fact, I think you're always the director is Justin Waldman, a very wonderful young director from who was up there in Boston when I first did it, and
who describes this as almost like a jazz piece.
Yeah. It's even written that way without punctuation. And Ronan is an Irishman. He's been in the country for about 9 years, and I don't know. The three of us constantly were weighing how far we could go and how much we needed to pull back if we had to. And in fact, we rarely decided to pull back. As long as you, and again, it's in the writing, as long as you can come back to a kind of, I don't know what other word to use except a kind of an innocent place. Like, I'm just, he says a number of times in the play, I'm just reporting, I'm just watching, I'm just showing you yourselves. And in many ways, he's right, you know. And I think for the audience, that's very, obviously in the safety of a dark theater, that's very, you know, refreshing for them, too.
Ronan Noon originally, as I understand it, had planned to make this a play with four or five characters, but now it's just you alone on the stage for an hour and 45 minutes, and you say it's a real workout.
Good Lord. Yeah,
it's different than your usual one-person show?
Yeah, well, I've never done a one-person show before. I've never been alone like this.
Because so much of acting is reacting, isn't it?
Totally, and your only colleagues are your fellow actors usually, and whatever writing you have to work with, and then the audience is the last piece of the puzzle, but the people you are there to present for. In this case, the audience is my only colleague, and at first, that's paralyzing. Because I don't want to necessarily depend on them. They change every night. But now it's fantastic. I love it. Because now I've done it enough that I don't worry about it. If they're not engaged, I have to find another way, you know?
So do audiences react differently every night? Do you get laughs at certain points?
Completely. completely.
And gasp sometimes and no response the next night?
Yes. Some people are very quiet and respectful and are scared of the character. And as soon as I feel that, I'll try to make them more charming. I'll try to, you know, turn that on its head as much as I can be. Other nights you go in there and they're guffawing and they think it's very darkly funny. And I then pull out all the stops to be as realistic and kind of biting as I can be to, you know, to constantly... The best compliment I get, and I've got,
you don't have to go for the laughs those nights.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Not only I try to get away from them, you know. And the best thing people say is that they're the best thing I like to hear is that they're they not only don't know what's going to happen next, but they don't know how to feel next, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, nowadays we're so programmed to know exactly what we're watching and who's going to be the villain and who's going to fall in love and whatever the stories that play out in front of us, even in the real media, you know, the reality, it's already, you know, Hurricane Katrina, it's already got graphics before you can say anything. And I like it when we're a little bit surprised.
Augustine says that being an atheist gives him carte blanche to make up his own rules because he doesn't worry about whether he's being judged by God or whether he'll be judged in an afterlife?
I think that my feeling about the title and what it means, I'm sure it means something different to Ronan. I think what I always say is that atheism is just the beginning. In fact, I have a few atheist friends who are upset when they come see the play and say, what are you, you're associating atheism with amoralism or no moral center and no compassion. That's not who I am. That has nothing to do with what I am. So I think that's a kind of an interesting place to start. But I think that he... Look, nobody starts wanting no moral center, it seems to me. But I think pretty early in your life you can start playing with the idea that maybe you don't need one or you can operate without one. And not only does Augustine do that, but he, as I say, thrives on it and becomes fascinating to watch because of that.
But it is interesting that his name is Augustine, the name of a saint who wrote about the existence of God.
Yep.
And the playwright Ronan Noon was born in Ireland and I suspect grew up as an Irish Catholic.
Oh,
and
yes.
Brings an Irish Catholic sensibility
absolutely.
To this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a great way, you know, look, and Ronan was a journalist, I believe, for 1 year or something in Dublin. I don't think he cared for it very much, but it's great to see that these are the two ways he's working out, you know, his take on both of those things, Catholicism and journalism, in his life. But also what's great about it is that he came here and he made it about an American character and he put some smack in the middle of the country in Kansas. It couldn't be more about our culture, and you know, again, that works to the play's effect because it's because we all see it every day.
My guest is Campbell Scott, who plays Augustine Early in Ronan Noon's play, The Atheist, which is currently at the Barrow Street Theater in the West Village, running through January 4th. Is this is that a sure thing?
It's definitely going through January 4th, yes.
No, I mean, is it likely to be extended?
I don't know. It's we're produced by the Culture Project and by Circle in the Square. Very great guys, all of them, for, you know, doing this alternate week schedule, which is all about me and my crazy schedule. But it's wonderful to play it every other week, and who knows? Yeah, maybe. I mean, nowadays I think it's tough for people to go to the theater. The audiences aren't as big, but now people are starting to come, and so we'll see what happens.
And playing it every other week is okay? Isn't there a certain thing that happens when you play it pretty much every night and you get a kind of momentum?
There is, but I have to say I love it. And like I said, I haven't done the one-man thing before, and I was very scared. In fact, the first couple times I came back on that Tuesday after the week away, I thought, what am I saying? What am I doing? I can't remember why I'm here. But now I thrive on it. It's a challenge to remember what, you know, you can't get stuck. You can't get stuck in any of your shtick because you actually have to rethink it every time you come back.
Well, since, as you say, the script was written without any punctuation, that gives you a lot of leeway, doesn't it?
Gives you a lot of leeway, and it's like all good writing. I always tell Ronan, I don't want him to get a big head, but all the great writers, you know, back to Shakespeare and O'Neill, anybody you can think of that really writes layered stuff, Not only do you learn more as you play it, and the audience tells you stuff about it as you go, but in something like this, it's a smorgasbord. You can, and that's hard to say. You can pick different things to hit every night, different degrees, different places you want, degrees to which you want to go, and it is so much fun.
Well, you mentioned that Rona Noon was once a journalist, and even though the play is called The Atheist, I would think this is as much an indictment of journalism about the creeping power of tabloid values, even in the serious press.
I think there's no doubt about it. And it's hard to avoid, and especially over the last 8-10 years, let's face it, or 15 or 20 years, now that we have so many outlets for everyone to say what they want to say and become someone who's reporting or commenting on things, that that Ronan sees that, came here 10 years ago, came right when it really has gotten crazy, and has that kind of outsider's view that he can watch it and reflect it back to us. But I have to say, it's an easy mark. It's like anything. It's like saying, oh, Hollywood sucks and everybody out there is an idiot. Well, of course that's not true, and there are a lot of smart people in Hollywood, and et cetera, and a lot of artistic...
You say that after having worked in Hollywood, Campbell?
I'm doing the best I can. I'm just looking for the cliches, but and the media is an easy one to attack and reproach, and because they're abhorrent a lot of the time, or a lot of what comes at us. But you know what? It's our responsibility. We can listen or not. We can disagree or not. We can do something about it or not. It's really up to us. It's like our political system. But and I think Ronan sees that better than someone who might even live here.
Although it is interesting that we have a New York-based actor with an Irish-born playwright, and we're doing something, as you say, in Kansas. The character is born in Blue Rapids,
Kansas. I don't know if it's a real place, but his paper is in Manhattan, Kansas.
It's usually hard for a foreign playwright to get whoever the playwright is. If I were writing a play about Britain, to get the British rhythms just right and all the words just right. How did it work here? Did you work with him?
I think you're exactly right. I think that for some reason it helped Ronan to make it Southern. I mean, although Kansas is Midwest, which is an interesting accent, I do more of a Southern Kansas accent, which sounds much more what we think of as a Southern accent. And there's something about those rhythms and the way those people talk that is very Irish. In fact, he had some Irish phrases in there that we would often argue about and say, can we really say mightn't and stuff like that. But they do sound Southern, so some we left and some we... But it was a lot of... we didn't always agree, but it was always constructive work. And I think Ronan likes that. He was present all the time, and Justin was great about it. So it never ended, and sometimes I would fight for things and I'd say, let's wait for the audience to tell us, and they would. But
does it matter that you've had experiences on other sides of this whole business? You've directed, you've produced, as well as acting. You've been in films, you've been in theater. I don't know. Is it different if you're just an actor who just picks up somebody's script and does it? Or do you form stronger opinions because you've done the other thing?
I think it's a great question. I think that, it's easy to say directing and producing, doing all those other things have made me a better actor, but I think it's true. I think that, in many ways, it's your job as an actor, when you're just an actor, to be self-involved. You are using yourself. You are your only tool. And especially if you're in a one-man show, you are what you have. So you have to, if you work with colleagues that don't get you or you don't get them, you have to resort to yourself, all those things. But I think if you've been on the other side, you definitely, if you feel at a loss as an actor for some reason, whatever it is, and you always do, believe me, you will then, I was going to say comfort, but at least console yourself with looking at the big picture for a while and knowing, hey, I have a run. I'm going to find some things out from the audience. I don't have to be stuck here. Whatever it is, and all those things will help. Plus, you tend to listen to your director and writer a little bit more too, I think.
Well, you grew up in an acting family, acting royalty. Do you ever wish that you could consult with Dad or Mom? Worrying about this line or how to approach this character?
No, I would have never done that. I mean, I did work with my mother a couple times before she died, not with my dad. They were both really good actors and really good,
I think they were very good actors.
Very good theater actors, you know, at first. And then.
And is theater your first love?
It's where I learned, so I think it is, yeah. And I don't do it a lot now, which is why I'm grateful for this opportunity. But yeah, it's always where I feel most comfortable, I think. Although acting in film is great, but I think that's why I probably widened out to directing and producing films, because that's more, you know, then you get a little more control, you get a little more engaged and stuff like that. But my parents, I wouldn't have sought it out back then, and I probably wouldn't now, although parents are parents, especially my mother, who is very close to, and she would, you know, they find ways to tell you when you're full of it.
The reason I ask is because I've spoken to some actors who've said, you know, I never want to be married to an actor because I don't want to talk shop. And others have said that they love the idea of being able to talk with somebody who would understand the problems that they had to contend with.
I think it depends on your personality, definitely. Everybody's a little different in that. Yeah, I'm not one who wants to talk craft ever, really, except with the people that I'm actually doing it. I mean, I always consider it a kind of a profession or a job, and in the best way. Having said that, though, it's always great to have someone close by who you, when you want to and need to, you can talk to them about it in terms that they'll understand.
You have anything else coming up?
I wrote and directed a movie called Company Retreat, which has now, I made it over a year and a half ago. I completely low budget, shot it with a HD camera, all friends in it and stuff like that. But I'm still editing that. So hopefully that'll come out next year sometime.
Meanwhile, we have The Atheist, which is being presented in alternating weeks through January 4th at the Barrow Street Theater in the West Village. It's a co-production of The Culture Project and the Circle in the Square Theater. And my great thanks to the wonderful Campbell Scott, who loves to play bad guys, for being on our show again today.
Thanks for having me.